His righteousness. We get His righteousness by accepting Him. Sometimes we don't feel like we're righteous, but if you've accepted Jesus, it's not about how you feel, it's about what He's done and what He's did on the inside of you to create this new life in you that's causing you to triumph over demonic influences in your life, that causes you to overcome in every situation. And yet sometimes we have our flesh that wants to just say that, you know, I want to do this, I want to do this. And that's when we got to take our flesh and take it to the cross and leave it with Jesus. Because He has higher plans for us than what we have. His ways are better than our ways. A lot of us for many years tried it our own way. And we've seen a lot of failures, a lot of falling. But a lot of us have tried Jesus for a long time now. And we've seen an overcoming life. A life full of victory. A life full of life. A life full of everything that you'd want in life. A life full of joy on the inside. That the world didn't give me. And the world can't take it away. There's an old song. It's called Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. That's what the joy of the Lord is when He comes inside of you. When you accept Him and He starts making changes from the inside out. There's a difference that starts taking place. I just love that part where He says, I love Barabbas. That mean, hateful person that went around doing everything that was evil. Yet Jesus loves him the same. He loves you the same. Amen. Jesus died and He rose again. You know, the Bible says that the same power that's in you that raised Christ from the dead, and it says it will quicken your mortal body. Amen. It will make you strong. It'll make you overcome if you allow it. Amen. But you got to allow it. Glory to God. Amen. That's such a powerful message. We could probably go home and be okay right now, but I wrote 3 different sermons this week, and I'm going to get one of them out. But before we get into that, it was Palm Sunday, and little Bobby stayed home from church with a sore throat with his grandmother. The family returned home, and they were carrying several palm leaves. And Bobby asked, what is that for? The people held it over Jesus as He walked by, his father told him. Bobby turned to his dad and says, wouldn't you know it? The one Sunday that I don't go, He shows up. Amen. There's this missionary, Janie, was walking in Africa on Easter Saturday, or what should be the day before Easter. When she's walking down the road, she started hearing these thumps behind her. And she got a little glimpse, and she saw this lion approaching her. She said, oh Lord, grant the goodness of this lion be a Christian lion, that he won't be hungry and won't want to eat me. And then in silence, she kind of heard the lion say, God, I thank you for this Easter meal. Amen. I got one more. Young Aaron and his family were invited to have Easter lunch at his grandmother's house. Everyone was seated around the table. The food was being served. And Aaron received his plate and started eating straight. Boom, he got his plate and he started eating. Aaron, wait until we say grace, demanded the father. I don't have to, the 5-year-old replied. Of course you do, earnestly the mother insisted, rather forcefully. You always pray before you're eating at your house, at our house. That's our house, explained Aaron. But this is Grandma's house, and she knows how to cook. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember going to Grandma's house on Sundays. What a great meal. Amen. I remember when I started dating my wife and going to my wife's mother's house for dinner at Sunday afternoon. That was like great. Amen. Some of the best fried chicken I ever had. Glory to God. Amen. But I just don't eat the fried anymore. After so many years of fried, you have to give it up. Just every once in a while. Amen. Glory to God. I just want to make mention real quick. A lot of you know James and Naomi Beloff. She went home to be with the Lord this last week. And her home going is going to be this Thursday at 6 o'clock over at Diamonds and Sons, just down the street here. And viewing starts at 4, and then after the service, there will be some more time for viewing. So if you'd like to attend that, that's Thursday at 6 o'clock. Amen. And so, you know, I was talking to a lady down here named Barbara, and she said, you know, the thing about when you lose a loved one, and they're born again, they're saved, you know they're in a great place because they're with Jesus. She said that the thing about it is we miss the fellowship. You miss the fellowship. So, you know, we'll miss Naomi. She was a great woman of God. We're going to miss the fellowship. But she's not missing anything right now. She's celebrating. Glory to God. You know, I read a story a long time ago, and I made mention of this different Easter times. There's this family, they always watch the dictation of Jesus going to the cross in movie form and whatnot. And so she was sitting there, and she started weeping and crying because of the beating that Jesus was taking and the blood that was shed and things were going on. And so all of a sudden, it got to the part where they put him in the grave. She kind of wiped her eyes clear. She said, here comes the good part. Amen. The good part is he rose. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. Risen. He is no longer in the grave. If we looked around, we could name all kinds of people that are in the grave that claim to be gods. Muhammad's in the grave. Amen. In fact, I heard a little story about this. This Muslim in Africa, a Christian, and some of his friends asked him, why have you done such a thing? And he answered, well, it's like this. Suppose you're going down the road, and suddenly the road forked into two directions, and you don't know which way to go. And there in the fork are two men, one dead and one alive. Which one are you going to ask for directions? Amen. You want the live one, don't you? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But we serve an awesome God, don't we? A risen Savior. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. He don't bug you, but he wants to be a part of you. He wants to be in fellowship with you. I found out when I got into fellowship with God, it changed my whole life. It changed me from doing what I knew to do that was wrong to change my way of doing things that was right according to his will, his plan, his purpose in my life. Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read a few verses here. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's good right there. He died for our sins, for your sins, for my sins. And that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas, then Peter, then the 12. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, and then by the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, one born due out of time. Verses 42 and 40 through 45. So also the resurrection of the dead, the body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and raised in power. It is sown in natural body and raised in spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Amen. If you don't know this, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we're spirit, soul, and body. The first thing we are is spirit beings. And our spirit is going to live on no matter if we're a Christian or if we're unsaved. We're going to live on. It's just your destination. Amen. You know, sometimes with the airplanes, they always say, let's see where your destination is. You know what? We get to make our destination on our final trip. Amen. And it's up to us to accept him or not. But I'm telling you, when Jesus rose up from the dead, victory over death was defeated. Amen. It changed everything. Resurrection raised in incorruption. We are born into this life as perishable beings, but glory to God. When Jesus rose up again, he was from incorruption. Glory to God. He was not corrupt. He was the Savior. Amen. Jesus Christ into your life, you have victory over death. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. You have victory over death when you ask Jesus to be in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have victory over sin's dominion. There are things that wants to try to take you away from Jesus. Excuse me. There are things that want to rob you of joy. There are things that want to say, you need to do this, and it's usually your flesh saying, you need to be ruled by this here. But I'm telling you what, when Jesus rose from the dead, it gave us victory over sin's dominion. Hallelujah. Paul says that we are sown in weakness, but through resurrection of Jesus, we are raised in power. We are raised in power. We were born weak with no power to resist sin and temptation. But because of the resurrection of Jesus, the power of sin over our lives is broken. Amen. Hallelujah. The power over temptation is broken. Now, temptation can come. It is you accepting that power, saying, I have power over this through Jesus Christ. Amen. Or you can say, no, I'm going to follow that temptation. But if you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you have been given that power over sin and death. Amen. It's your choice. You have power over drugs and alcohol. Amen. The Holy Spirit will give you power to resist those things that would naturally want to tear your life apart and tear you down. Amen. You have victory over financial bondages, over every circumstance in life. Jesus gives us the victory. Amen. Romans 8:11, I think I made mention of this earlier, or somebody did. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Amen. Are you dwelling in Jesus? Then his Spirit is dwelling in you. Amen. He's given you favor, dominion over life's problems. Amen. I'm not saying you won't have problems. I'm not saying things won't come your way. But I'm saying when they do, Jesus will be there to help walk you through. Amen. You ever filling out forms or doing something, somebody has to help you walk you through these forms? Amen. Oh, what a blessing that is. That's what Jesus does through life. He helps you walk through life. Amen. To get the job done. I like the Amplified version that says that he will never, 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 never leave you. Amen. Or forsake you. He just like boomed it in there. I will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Glory to God. You got to realize that. I've heard people say, well, God left me. God didn't leave you. You might have left him, but he didn't leave you. Amen. He's always right there. All you got to do is just slide right back to him. Amen. Because Jesus will put a little hop in your pop and get you through. Hallelujah. You know, I read something today or the other day, and I wanted to read it again. How making the right decision for God will change your life. And it goes like this. A young boy, the name of James, had a desire to be the most famous manufacturer and salesman of cheese in the world. That's pretty good adventure for being a young man, isn't it? He planned on becoming rich and famous by making and selling cheese, and he began with his little buggy pulled by a pony named Putty. After making his cheese, he would load it on his wagon, and Putty would drive down the streets of Chicago to sell cheese. As the months went past by, the young boy began to despair because he was not making any money in spite of his long hours and hard work. One day he pulled his pony aside and stopped and began to talk to old Putty. He said, Putty, there is something wrong. We are not doing this right. I'm afraid we must turn things around, and our priorities are not where they ought to be. Maybe we ought to serve God and place him first in our lives. The boy drove home and made a covenant that the rest of his life he would serve God and then work as God directed him. Many years after this, a young boy stood as the head person in the Sunday school. He would do whatever he could work in the church. But he said, my first job is serving Jesus. So every time you take a bite of Philadelphia cream cheese, sip a cup of Maxwell House coffee, mix a quart of Kool-Aid, slice up a DiGiorno pizza, cook a pot of macaroni and cheese, spread some gray poupon, stir up some cream of wheat and sip down some Jell-O, and eat the cream out of the middle of the Oreo cookie, or serve some stovetop, remember a boy, his pony named Putty, and the promise that he made. James L. Kraft made to serve God his work as he directed. Amen. It changes around when you change to serve the Lord. Amen. He made a commitment that I'm going to serve the Lord. He realized what he was doing wasn't going the right way. How many times have we realized that and we kept on doing it? Doing the same wrong thing gets you the same wrong results. And sometimes it takes us a long time to figure that out, but it is so true. So, but when we decide to say, you know what, I'm changing my direction, just like Mr. Kraft is, I'm changing my direction, and I'm desiring to serve Jesus, him first, and he put him in first place, and I know when I put Jesus in first place, things started changing in my life. Things started going different. It wasn't about my will getting done. It was about his will getting done. And serving him with joy and confidence. Amen. He allows us to come back. Amen. You know, we watch football games and we see different things. And there's, you know, not last year, but the year before, there was a great comeback at the Super Bowl. And I don't want to mention the team to puff up anybody, like our youth pastor. But they came back from a real big deficit. Thank you. Appreciate it. And you know, we were all amazed, and some of us were sad. All but the youth pastor and his cohorts. But Jesus is the same way. We can go down the road of life and we realize, hey, I'm going the wrong direction here. And God says, well, turn to me. and I will bring you back. Isn't that good news? That Jesus wants us to come back to Him to set us up for our comeback. Amen. And He'll put things in your life that will cause you to be an overcomer. You may not own one of the largest corporations in America, but let me tell you what, you'll start doing things and you'll feel a whole lot better about it. Because you're not doing it out of your will, but you're doing it out of His will. You're not doing things out of being greedy and self-centeredness. You're doing out of things because God has spoke to you and you're doing these things. You're doing things out of kindness and love instead of hatred and meanness. God loves us that much. And He allows us to come back. He allows us to run the race. But let me tell you what. You can run the race to win. You can run the race to win. Hallelujah. So when you're done, and I said this at my father-in-law's funeral, you'll be able to hear, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us." Colossians chapter 2. I got it written down, so I got there really quick. I'll let you get there. Hallelujah. It says, "Having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken us out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Hallelujah. "Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Amen. In other words, Jesus took care of the bully. There was a bully out there called the devil, the enemy, Satan, whatever you want to call him. And he's trying to bully you. But if you realize that Jesus took care of him, and it says that He has disarmed principalities and powers. Oh, and then He probably stood him up and said, "This is the bully that tried to shame you." So anytime you start getting attacked and you realize, "Hey, where am I going? What am I doing?" Jesus says, "You're headed for a comeback. You're headed to stand up for yourself," and you realize that you have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And He went to hell for me. And He beat up the principalities and powers that were trying to come against me so that I could live an overcoming life. So that I could be on a comeback again. Amen. I don't know how many of you saw that movie, I Can Only Imagine. We went and saw it last week. It's very good. Most people liked it. And I liked the part where they had a lady playing Amy Grant, said, "You know what? This is going to be my comeback song, I Can Only Imagine." But she said, "It's not my song. You sing. It's your song." She had enough in her to know that, hey, it's not my time to sing this song. It's His time. Setting Him up for His comeback. Amen. Another thing that God did, He reached out and He provided redemption for us. 1 Corinthians 15, where we started, it says, verse 7 and 8. "After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then at least all of us has seen Him. Seen by me also, has been born out of due time. Then He appeared to James and the apostles and the Greek," and He just appeared to over 500 people. So people say, "I don't know if He really arisen." Well, you're going to have to go back through all Christianity and disprove that. Because there's proof. Amen. It's written proof. There's seen proof. He has risen. He is alive and well and sitting at the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And in Ephesians it says we're seated in high places If you're born again, you're seated in high places. Glory to God. So when you're looking at your circumstance, it should look a lot smaller than what it looks like here. Amen. He's risen. He is risen. He overcame everything that would try to keep him from being who he was. Amen. Sometimes we need mercy. You ever been in those situations? God, I really messed up. God gets a lot of these mercy prayers. Have a little mercy. Sometimes we think your name's Mercy because you're always calling out so much for it. But anyhow. But mercy and grace. And God says, I'll give you mercy. I'll give you my grace. I'll give you unfavored, merited favor in your life. I'll set you up. I'll clean you up. I'll put you on a solid foundation. I'll make you new on the inside. I'll cleanse you from inside out. Old things will be passed away, and behold, all things become new. That's what he does for us. I want to have Chelsea and Tiana come see. Mercy said no. Hallelujah. But you've got to realize Jesus is merciful. He loves you. Some people say, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. And you're correct. But when you turn your life over to Jesus, he throws that in the sea. Amen. He takes care of that for you. He don't let you wander in the desert here and there. He'll direct your path. In fact, it says he'll put a light on your path. Amen. Glory to God. You guys ready?
I was just a child when I felt the Savior leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. And for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what he had me be is who I am. As I've come to see the weaker side of me, I realized his grace is what I'll need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. Jesus said, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said, no, sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. And now heaven looks at me. It's through the blood of Jesus, reminding me of one day long ago. Mercy said no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no, sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And mercy said no. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's really important for us to understand that's Jesus talking about each one of us individually. And he loves us so much.